Father, we look forward to tuning in. We look forward to hearing what you have to say to our hearts. And Father, we have a simple prayer that your words will come through Pastor Joel and hit us right where we need them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I want to share with you from John chapter 20. This is a story of how Jesus comes to people after the resurrection. And what I just love so much, the way Jesus rises from the dead and no one was there. No one had a clue what was going on, but Jesus went and found them. And as he comes to all of these different people, he just speaks to them and appears to them and comes to them and shows them exactly what they need. He appeared to Mary and he called her name. And then she got it. And he appeared to the disciples. Well, that's what I want to share with you tonight. When Jesus came to the disciples, where were they? They were locked up in a room. They were locked up. They weren't looking for him. He came and found them. How cool is that? They'd abandoned him, but he came and found them. They rejected him, but he came and found them. Because that's who he is. So let me read to you from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." This is huge. In these few verses, this is how Jesus comes to the disciples. After he's died, after he's risen from the dead, he comes to them and he restores them. He empowers them and he commissions them. He restores them not as just disciples, not just as his followers. He restores them as men, as sons. And then he empowers them. He breathes the breath of the Holy Spirit into them. This is the same Spirit that was hovering over the waters in Genesis. The Spirit was there, the creative Spirit of God. It's the same Holy Spirit that came down on Jesus when he was baptized and empowered Jesus himself for his ministry. Jesus breathes this Holy Spirit into them to bring them to life. And then he says, "Boys, I want you to come and be part of my family business. I've got something I want you to do with me. We're going to go and change the world. We're going to bring freedom and peace and life to the whole world." What do you say to that? Amen. Well, when Jesus is asking, you just say, "Yes, sir." Yes. So Jesus comes to these disciples and they're locked up. They're shut behind doors because they're afraid for their lives. These are the disciples who said they would die for Jesus. He said, "You're all going to leave me and abandon me." And they said, "No, we won't, Jesus. We would die for you." Except when it came to the moment, they didn't. Why not? Were they afraid? Did they get to the moment and the conditions for their dying for Jesus had changed? And all of a sudden they thought, "No, this is not how it's meant to go." Because that's what happens sometimes. We promise things, but then the conditions change. And we think, I want to take my promise back. They completely and utterly failed. Can you imagine the shame that they felt? Peter had denied he even knew Jesus. John was standing there watching as he was crucified. completely powerless. It is, the other disciples, they just left. Judas wasn't even there anymore. These disciples are broken. They're scared because they're worried they're going to be arrested and killed as well. And they're full of shame and guilt. And Jesus undoes it by coming to find them. Through the locked doors, he just appears, because locked doors mean nothing to Jesus. He just comes amongst them and he says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't even talk about their failure. Doesn't even address it. He talks to their heart and says, "Peace be with you." Because Jesus is not just giving them another chance. He's not saying, "It's all right, fellas, let's just have another go." No, he restores their heart. When he says, "Peace be with you," he's not just saying, you know, "Calm down, guys." He's not saying, you know, "Peace, man." What's he saying when he says peace? He's saying, "You are completely restored. You have been made whole. You are completely righteous." And he can say this because Jesus has undone everything that they, every failure that they've made. He's just taken it to the cross. So he can say to them, "Peace be with you. You are restored. You are complete. You are whole. Everything is good." He's completely restoring them, not just as disciples, but as men. And then he goes on to equip them with the Holy Spirit. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them. And this is what he'd promised. If you go back a few chapters, he spent quite a long time explaining to them, "You guys, I'm going to have to go. But it's actually good for you that I'm going away, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you." And I don't know about you, but if I was the disciples, I'd be thinking, how is that good? How is there any world in which you leaving is a good thing? How can you possibly say it's better for you that I go? But that's what he says. It's better that I go, because then the Holy Spirit will come and live in you. And not just in one place with 12 disciples or 11 disciples, but with all the world. The Holy Spirit is for all the church. And now God's presence is in his people. This is incredible if you trace back the story of the Old Testament, because where did God dwell with his people in the wilderness? It was in a tent. They had to build a massive tent, and that's where Jesus lived amongst them. And then later on, when they settled in the promised land, they built another temple. And the Holy of Holies, that was where God lived with his people. And now, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is coming to live in the people. Forget the building. You don't need a building anymore. And they did. They tore the temple down. And they didn't need to rebuild another one, because the people were the temple. We are the vessels in which God places his presence. You know that presence that came down on Mount Sinai in the thunder and the lightning? That presence is in you. It's incredible. It's hard for us to even get our heads around this. God lives in you. Do we have a third? So, firstly, Jesus comes and he restores the disciples, and then he empowers them by putting his own spirit in them, which he'd promised would happen. And then he says, "Come on, boys, I've got some work that I want you to do with me. We're going to go and set the world free." He says, "Go, and if you forgive someone's sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven." This is significant stuff. This is not just like a father saying to his son, "Hey, I'm going for my lunch break. Make sure the place doesn't burn down before I come back. You know, just shut the door and keep the cash register going," or whatever. No, we're actually doing the work of Jesus. We're bringing that forgiveness to the world. And when we tell someone that they're forgiven, they are forgiven. Not because we won that forgiveness for them, but because Jesus did, but we get to bring that to them. Isn't that an awesome responsibility and an incredible privilege? Just amazing. In fact, this is the keys to paradise. And I'm not just talking about paradise in the future. I'm talking about right now. In fact, Martin Luther, one of our church fathers from 1500s, when he discovered this truth, he said it was as if the gates to paradise had been opened and he had entered in. Right there and then. That's what we can bring people. That's what he's saying to the disciples. You are restored. You are empowered by my presence. And now I want you to come and we're going to change the world. So I want to say to you, all of this is true for you right now too. Jesus is here to restore you, to empower you, and to call you, commission you to go and take that forgiveness to the world. Wherever you're at, whether this is the first time this week that you've heard the good news, that Jesus died for your sins, or whether this is the 1,000,001st time, can you hear these words? Peace be with you. Jesus has won peace for you, and he gives peace to you. And that peace is a completeness and a wholeness. We are fully restored. We are sons because Jesus paid the price so that we could be sons. And on the journey, you know, the disciples had been with Jesus a long time. They'd been through a lot up until this point. And they might have been thinking, we should have figured this out by now. And this wouldn't be the last time they would receive that forgiveness. That forgiveness and that restoration is for us at every stage of our journey. This is where we live. This is who we are. So receive that again. Peace be with you. That peace from Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is living inside you, guiding you, leading you, which means we never have to do anything on our own. It means for the rest of your life, you are never alone. You never have to do anything in your own strength. You never have to figure anything out on your own, because you have God living in you and with you. The presence of God is right here. We don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to perform any rites. It's been given to you and breathed into you. Holy Spirit's there to guide us and lead us into the freedom that Jesus has won for us, to bring us back to the bosom of the Father. Holy Spirit brings us into that freedom and teaches us to live in that. But also, the Holy Spirit is the one who is taking this news to the world. So we're not on our own. It's not like this is some cosmic test and we've been given a job to do and Jesus is going to come back one day and say, let's see how you did. No, he's here through the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is working in the people all around you. The Holy Spirit is calling people. And we get to be part of that. How cool is that? And so, we are called, we are commissioned to go and take this forgiveness that can open the gates of paradise to anyone. So this is what I want to encourage you. Please don't underestimate the power of you proclaiming forgiveness to someone. This is the most amazing gift that you can give to anyone, to tell them that they are forgiven. If someone comes to you and they break down in tears and they tell you, I've messed it up, I've made a mistake, I've ruined everything, you can tell them, Jesus died for you. He's paid it all. Don't just tell them it's going to be okay. Don't just tell them, oh, that's all right, mate. We all make mistakes. Don't just tell them that. Tell them Jesus has paid for their sins. They are forgiven. And it cost him a great deal to win that forgiveness for them, because he wants them to be restored. See, it's not up to the pastors or the priests to do this. It doesn't have to happen in a church building. It happens every time you proclaim that forgiveness to someone. You are setting them free. It's a huge responsibility, but But it's a wonderful privilege, and we don't do it on our own. You don't have to convince that person. You just speak it. And the Holy Spirit takes those words and brings them to life. In my email inbox, I keep getting these messages about an airbag recall. Does anybody else get those? And every time I panic and I go, oh, I better type in my rego number and find out if that's me or my VIN number or whatever. And I haven't had to take my car in yet. Have you ever got a text about an airbag recall? Or a letter in the mail? I've even seen it on social media. Why are they so desperate to get this message out that... Well, because it's dangerous. If you drive in a car that has a failing airbag, you could be in serious trouble. I guess that's a pretty important message to get out there. We have a message that's even more important. And I'm not saying that we have to get it out at whatever cost possible, but we have the opportunity to share something so critical and so important. We can be part of bringing that person into freedom. It's just by speaking simple words, Jesus loves you. You are restored. You are forgiven. I want to pray for us. I want to pray that when you have the opportunity, the Spirit would give you the words and you can be part of bringing that freedom. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you come and find us. Jesus, would you come right now and find those who are hurting and those who are feeling trapped and scared, those who are locked up in guilt and shame, and would you come right now and speak restoration to them and speak your peace into them? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe into these men to bring them to life. Jesus, would you come and breathe your Holy Spirit into us all to teach us, guide us, and lead us, and to bring us into the bosom of the Father. And Jesus, as we go, would you help us as we work in the family business, bringing your forgiveness to those around us. When we have the opportunity, remind us, give us the words to say, and use our words to bring those people to life, to bring them freedom. Jesus, we are all your ministers, and we have failed at times. Would you forgive us and restore us again? Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.